Normal activities. All clear. All clear. Resume normal activities. Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Dash, Barry J, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, Dash pops a calf. Happy birthday, cell phones! And ambulance curling? All that and more on Late Night! Curious! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Jeff, Barry J, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 89 from the beautiful and almost warm southwest corner of New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
From the beautiful and 67 degree southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And it snowed all day yesterday. What heavy snow. I'm Michael, the Virtual Youper.
It's all right, Michael. We'll just blame global warming.
It's like 8 weeks to summer yet, isn't it? I got 2 to 3 feet of snow on the ground.
I'm sorry.
We had a backyard with an army of robins in it today. I mean, literally, no matter where you look, there were robins in the field and the backyard. They're all doing their little hop, hop, stop, listen, stab, get a grub, get a worm, whatever they're going after. It was pretty interesting. There was a ton of them. Unbelievable. I guess spring is on the way.
Yes, sir.
But we didn't hit 67. We weren't anywhere near that.
Yeah, I was outside, let's see here, 4 hours ago, four and a half hours ago, albeit with a bum leg. I don't care. I couldn't stand being in this house anymore. The doctor said I had to keep my leg up and keep that stupid cast on for, you got to do nothing for 3 days. And I did that, exactly, almost 3 days to the second. And then I said, screw this. I took the cast off, put my boots on, hobbled myself outside to the garage and started working on the car.
So please, Jess, to fill us in, for those that don't know, what transpired this week?
Oh, my week was wicked awesome, as they say in New England. Everything was status quo and normal, if you will, on Monday, and status quo and normal on Tuesday, and Wednesday morning, I actually woke up a little on the late side to head out to work. And, you know, got ready real quick, boom, 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 wake up my son, hey, get up quick, we got to get running, buddy, we're running a few minutes behind schedule. Jump in the truck, drove the truck all the way down into the city where his mom lives, be able to drop him off in plenty of time to get to school on time, drove to the end of that street, which a long time ago used to be my street, went to take a left-hand turn onto a majorly busy street, which has got a hospital at one end and two schools on the other. So you can imagine the amount of traffic you have with a road. I mean, this is all within less than a quarter mile of one another. An elementary school, a middle school, and a major hospital. Off of this busy street. And went to take the left-hand turn after I came to my complete stop. Went to hit the gas pedal. Boom! Nothing. Engine's running and purring fine, but I ain't going anywhere. And of course, I've got a queue of cars behind me that's 15 cars deep.
Oh, jeez.
And there's at least 11 cars that are trying to take a left-hand turn onto the road, and I was on, because now my truck is coasted smack dab diagonally in the middle of all the whole intersection. People can't turn left. They can't turn right. They're barely getting around the tail end of my truck. I am really broke down in the middle of this intersection with no forward or reverse propulsion of any kind.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm thinking, what in the hell? You know, after I heard this bang, a nice lady stopped. I says, could you get in and steer? Because the engine's running just fine.
Yeah.
And throw her in neutral. I'm going to push the truck, and you can just steer it off to the side of the road. In the midst of me trying to do that, the truck's so damn heavy, it was near impossible for me to push it. Another fellow had stopped, nice gentleman, jumped out, said, here, let me help you push it. As we were pushing it forward, and unfortunately the angle was wrong, and it hit the curb. So now it's still diagonally, but it's only on the main street that's got the hospital on. At least I'm clear of the road I was coming from. Mm-hmm. But I'm still diagonally across this main street. So we got a quick run to the front of the truck. I said to the nice lady, when we push this thing back, cut the wheel all the way in the opposite direction. And then we're going to run to the back of the truck, and then we'll just straighten her out. Well, I ran to the front of the truck. I almost got hit by an S10 Blazer. Two ambulances, two rigs, and a fire truck had to weave around my truck in the middle of the intersection. I mean, lights blazing. I know otherwise they'd have stopped and at least helped push me out of the way.
Yeah.
But they were on an emergency call. No less than 20 school buses were weaving around me. I mean, we're talking the big, long school buses, not the little short jobs.
Okay.
And I went to push from the front of the truck, and it's on an incline. So I'm pushing the truck up the hill. And I felt a pop like I have never experienced before in my life in the back of my left calf. I mean, it was, if you took a regular bungee cord that you would say hold a tarp down with over something, and mm-hmm. let's say that normal length of that bungee cord was 2 feet, you could stretch it out to 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you stretched it out to 3.5 and released one end, that's how much energy this pop was in the back of my calf. And so when it popped, I instantly got nauseous. The strength was gone in the left leg. I almost collapsed. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have the option to stop and push it. So I just shifted all my weight onto my right leg and kept pushing.
Jeez.
And then hobbled, and I do mean hobbled, to the back end of the truck, straightened her out. The lady was able to straighten it out. We pushed it, and I thanked them very, very much. Never got their names because they had to run off to work.
Right.
Cars are weaving around me left and right because my truck, this road is it's not wide enough where I could fully be off to the right hand side and wouldn't impede the flow of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a little side street probably 45 feet ahead and off to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Tried grabbing a gear. I caught reverse, well, a little bit of reverse, and I thought, well, if it's catching a little bit in reverse, maybe I can catch a little bit in some forward gear. I don't give a flying crap which one. Caught a gear, and I stood on the accelerator pedal, and I must have... It sounded like the world's biggest coffee bean grinder on steroids, because I was leaving shards of metal all over the place behind the truck underneath it. But I managed to grind it forward and off this main drag and onto a side road. And then from there, I proceeded to, I went to call my wife. Unfortunately, her phone was in an area where it didn't get service. And here's the beautiful part. I'm going to be like a commercial for AAA premium package. I had AAA premium for 12 years. I never friggin' used it. So what did I do last year? Money got a little bit tight. I'm like, you know, we ain't never used it. I think I'm going to not renew it this year. Guess what? I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get a hold of the missus, and instead I couldn't, so I got a hold of my buddy at work. So you come rescue me and take me back to my house. I'll have my wife take me to the emergency room. The back of my leg is swollen up to probably, no word of a lie, diameter-wise. I got a pretty big calf, so you guys know that, but it's twice its normal size.
Oh, jeez.
And it's purple and black.
Oh.
And I was wearing bootcut blue jeans and which are very loose on the calf. Animal on my left leg, it was snug. So I knew it was swollen up pretty good.
Wow.
Which would also explain why I was nauseous and wanted to throw up constantly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, all right, I for a second there, I went to move, and I was able to get out of the truck, and I was able to move my foot somewhat. And I'm like, all right, I don't think I tore my Achilles because I can still move it. I do feel a huge lump in the back of my calf. Mm-hmm. My buddy picked me up, took me home. My beautiful bride ran me down to the hospital where they did a cursory examination, which I, quite honestly, aside from they did one of those splints that you make it wet, form it to the back of your leg, and then wrap it with a gauze bandage, a couple of them,
yeah.
A couple of ACE bandages. And then they give you a prescription here, take Advil, and here's some for Percocet. And I'm like, guys, there's something seriously effed up with the back of my leg. You guys ain't taking picture one. You just looked at it and said, it was black. My wife said it was actually purple.
Wow.
And she said, and the ER nurse said, how'd you get in here? She says, I walked from the car to where I'm standing or laying, where I'm laying right now. She goes, I'm amazed you're able to move it at all. And so I'm thinking, well, done. You take a picture, do something. And, you know, how can you know what's going on inside? I know it's deep. Nope. They said, you got to go see an orthopedic specialist. And I'm like, well, okay. They said, well, we made an appointment for you for tomorrow. So take these painkillers and sit and wait. And I'm like, and I actually said to my wife, I'm laying there on my belly on this table. And I said, this is a complete waste of fucking time. Honest to God. I said, because I got leftover painkillers that are the exact same prescription that they wrote for me from my knee surgery back in December. I didn't need them all. I didn't take them all. And then I could have made my own damn appointment to go see the surgeon that fixed my knees, both of them,
right.
At the orthopedic. I'm like, this was a waste of friggin' time. They didn't examine it. I mean, they didn't even touch it. She's just—they're just looking at it. Oh yeah, we don't think it's your torn Achilles. I says, no shit, because I can bend my foot.
And you can walk.
And I can walk. I can put it flat on the floor in excruciating pain, but it'll still work under its normal motion. So if I popped my Achilles, I knew that wouldn't be the case. Ancillary muscles will only move your foot so much.
Yeah.
I said the ball in the back of my calf right now, there isn't a coil tendon that you can normally feel up underneath there. So what it is it's at least a torn muscle, maybe a few ligaments. It's bleeding up underneath the skin. So once you guys be kind of worried or concerned about the idea of maybe blood clots, and they're like, well, you know, you got to go see the specialist tomorrow. I'm like, I didn't say it. But I'm thinking this, like I always typically say, depending upon the severity of the injury, was a waste of my friggin' time. Go see the people, the specialists that know. So I waited all night long, icing it down, which is common sense. Took the painkillers, which just mask the pain and the symptoms that are there. Go to the orthopedic. First thing he does, boom, breaks out an ultrasound machine. Wow, somebody who actually wants to take a look. What the hell's going on with the back of that muscle? And you hear him talking to the nurse, and he's like, oh, wow. He goes, Jesus Christ, look at the size of your calf. I says, well, yeah, I used to work out and lift weights, but... He said, well, that's kind of part of the problem, too, because he says it's just a massive muscle there, and he's going down with the ultrasound. Look, he goes, muscle, 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 void, 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 muscle, muscle. And I went, what the hell does that mean? He goes, that's where the muscle is torn and separated.
Oh, God.
And,
ow.
And I said, all right. I said, so are we at level, I can't remember what they're called. Michael, I'm sure, can refresh me. But you got like level one, level two, and level three. Level three, you're staring down the barrel surgery to fix the muscle.
Right.
Level one is a minor tear or pull. Level two is a definite tear, but it should heal on its own. That doesn't have any kind of like blood clotting issues. And three, you're looking at surgery. He goes, you're borderline 2-3.
Jeez.
And I says, all right, so what do we want to do? He goes, well, what we're going to do, he says, I think you're more on the air on the side of two. And I know this doctor. He didn't do my knees for me, but I've known him for a little while now. A colleague of mine, the surgeon who did fix my knees, very nice doctor, smart man. And he said, obviously we're air casting it. He goes, 24 hours. He says, you know the routine. I'm like, yeah. Ice it for 24 hours. After that, it's useless. He says, Aircast. He says, Rice, which is, was it raise it up, immobilize it? What the hell was the C? C and E, I can't
remember. Compression.
Compression, which is what the Aircast does.
Mm-hmm.
And then E, which is, what was it, exercise?
Elevation.
Elevation.
Elevation. So yeah. Rest, ice, compression, and elevation.
That's it.
Okay. It wasn't evacuate.
It wasn't evacuate. Well, no.
Well, it depends on the circumstances.
Yeah. Evacuation was something I was praying for later after being on Percocet for a week. Boy, does that stuff wind you up. But anyway, that's a different story. I digress. So yeah, that's I had the compression air cast. They fitted me up. They put it on right there and then after they did the ultrasound, which, you know, I called it my Transformers foot. Honest to God, you know, because the thing is a gray plastic with air bladders in it. And they give you a pump to pump it all up and it Velcros on your foot. And it goes from the bottom of your knee all the way down to the almost tip of your toes. Actually, it wraps your foot. So and I had that thing on since, well, let's see here, Thursday all the way through till, well, yesterday. Took it off, and because in doing more research, because that's what we do, guys, you say, all right, now I got to move the muscle a little bit. If you push it too much, you're going to keep re-injuring it. But you've got to use it a little, not strain, but, you know, regular walking. So I start doing that, and they also clearly said, I went on a bunch of medical websites that said, it's going to hurt like a son of a bitch because that muscle has not been used in 3 days, and it's got a tear. So it's going to hurt when you first start moving it. And guess what? They were right. Because I started trying to move that, and I'm thinking, holy God, does this hurt? And it hurts like a son of a bitch right now. But I went ahead and started slowly, baby, kind of cripple man walking around from one room in the house to the other. It hurts like hell right now because I've been keeping it still for too long and it's down. But I went out today. I'm like, you know what? I got to go back to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you sure you're going to feel up to that? I'm like, if I want to keep having a job, my ass has got to go back to work. So there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. My ass is going back to work. And so I went and said, today's a good day, and went outside and worked on the car. And, you know.
I thought you were just going to go to the store, you know.
I don't like sitting still for too long. You guys know that.
Yeah.
You know, after my knee surgery, I went back to work in 5 days. So, I mean, I had to push too hard, too soon, too fast, yes. But I'm trying to play this one smart because I'll be honest with you guys. This is no word of a lie. Anybody who's ever torn a calf muscle, I mean, to any degree, but especially severely, this sumbitch hurts 10 times more than tearing the meniscus in my knee.
Oh, it's probably worse than breaking your... You
That's
know.
What I was reading. They say it's worse than a broken bone. I've
probably
broken
the tibia or whatever because, you know, muscle has nerves.
I'll tell you what, man. It's enough that it hurts enough to you get, you know, when you're first breaking, like I've broken, I can't tell you how many times I broke my hand, broke toes on my feet, broke mm-hmm. my foot, broke my other leg, and it hurts like a son of a bitch, and you get nauseous in the whole nine yards. But once it's cast,
mm-hmm.
you get used to it. It doesn't hurt. It just itches like a son of a gun. Yeah. This damn thing, it hurt. The only time it doesn't hurt is when I'm not moving it. But the minute you got to move, I mean, in the slightest, you got to move, that pain is right back to the same degree of severity.
Hmm.
And so the worst part is, and I was reading up on it, and because it scared the shit out of me the first night. You know when you're getting a Charlie horse in the back of your calf when you're sleeping in the middle of the night? I've had them where they got the Charlie horse gets you get one in your calf, and I mean, I launch out of bed.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Stand up straight.
Yep.
And you know, the old, all the
that,
old.
That rock hard spot in your calf. Oh, yeah.
It hurts so bad. I've had them where they brought tears to my eyes many, many, many times. And, you know, you hear the old wives' tales where they say, put your foot in some cold water or like on a cold tile floor in the kitchen. And for some reason, the cold, it stops it from being in spasm and tighten it up so much. Well, you know that feeling you get when it starts to tighten up into a ball? And it gets tighter and tighter and tighter.
Yep.
Imagine having that feeling all the time. And that's where I'm at. And I thought, this sucks, man. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy.
Jeez.
This sucks. It. So I had said to the doctor, I'm like, look, I said, my leg's getting ready to go into spasm. I said, if I were to get a Charlie horse in that muscle, like I normally do, and I will, they'll bring tears to my eyes, and I'm in excruciating pain when I get them. If I got one on that torn calf muscle, I said, they'd be peeling me off the effing ceiling. Because I can't imagine how it hurting any more than it does now. Yeah. So they gave me Flexerol, which is for muscle spasms.
Okay.
So I'm supposed to take that before I go to bed, which prevents the muscle from going into spasm, I guess. Mm-hmm. Plus the Percocet so I can sleep. And that's been my week. And I just got my left knee fixed too, man. I've been good for 3 weeks, and then I blew something else out.
I think that's enough for 1 week.
Man, I'll tell you what. For the last year and a half, I've been hobbling around with a shot knee. Well, you know, torn meniscus in the left knee. They fixed it up before Christmas. For the last 3 weeks, I've been running and jogging and feeling good on my legs. First time in almost in a year and a half since I've been able to move and climb and do things all normal again. And now my calf's all screwed up. It's 6 to 8 weeks for this to heal.
Okay. Yeah. Well, enough about you. What our listeners and Michael and I really want to know is, how's the truck?
Oh, the truck. I did get pictures from my mechanic once I had it towed up to Jaffrey.
Yeah.
Excellent mechanic shop, but big and small, auto repair. And my buddy Ken took a picture of the rear end. And the rear end literally self-destructed.
Oh.
As he said, he sent me a picture with his cell phone, and there's more scrap metal sitting in the bottom of that rear end that used to be teeth and gears on the ring and pinion.
Of course, you trying to move it into that side street probably didn't help matters either.
No. He actually, it's, in so many words, it's, I don't know how the axles actually stayed in the tube.
Wow.
But I don't know why it let go. I guess it was time. You know, mm-hmm. One of the retaining clips must have... Well, I think what it was is before I had the frame fixed, all the pressure was on the rear end because the frame buckled. So it was pushing on the drive shaft. And I don't think that did it any favors.
No.
But anyhow, there was no accidents. Nobody got hurt of any importance.
That's
good. Everything is safe and sound. It's just machines being broken and... You know, me in my usual state, which is something else.
And you being broken.
Exactly.
Oh, I mean, can you imagine what your truck feels like?
No kidding. I said, if the tranny's blown out, it has blown out this truck, I said, I ain't fixing it.
Yeah.
Keep it.
Yeah.
But so I'm waiting to find out what a whole rear axle is going to cost.
Wow. That's a hell of a week.
Yeah, it was a hoot. And tensions at work. I know you know what that's all about, Barry.
Oh, especially things this are, time.
They were tense at work, so yeah. If your face isn't there, you start, you know, you always rolls around the back of your mind. Wonder what the folks up in the ivory tower are thinking because I'm out for the last 3 days.
Mm. Yeah. So, yep. You definitely know what you're talking about.
So I figured out, back. On Monday, I'll sit in my little cubicle and wheel myself around on my chair's got wheels on it. Push myself around with 1 foot where I got to go from point A to point B.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, it's tough all around, you know, and probably, well, you're kind of in, you're partially into the defense industry. I'm all into the defense industry, and we always lag behind everything else and with the sequestering. Sequestration going on and things like that. It's every day is like, what's going on? Do we still have money?
Yeah. Do we still have a job to get back to tomorrow?
So it's a scary time. But, you know, we're not, I mean, geez, you know, people in the civilian world have been dealing with this for the past couple of years. So it's, you know, the defense industry always lags behind a little bit. Just, you know, when everything starts picking up, and in the commercial world, we'll still be losing jobs.
Yeah, I hear you there.
So, But it's a scary time. It's a scary time to be my age too, and facing this because, we know what companies like young people. That's all I'll say. Companies like young people.
Fantastic.
So, Michael, how was your week?
Great in comparison.
Anything?
Just minor things here. Probably the biggest, which again is great in comparison, is I noticed while we were recording the show Sunday night that was smelling a little propane-y around here. And well, it's just I knew I was getting near the bottom of the tank, but I was waiting for I'm waiting for spring. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Well, I came back in here Monday morning and it was 32 degrees in the office.
Ooh.
I had runned out.
Oh my god.
So I called the propane company, but I know they only come out on Fridays. So I put a space heater in here, and after all day working in the office, Monday I got it up to about 49 degrees by the end of the day. I toughed it out one more day on Tuesday and still got it up to about 49 by the end of the day. And then I gave up trying to work in here this week until they were able to make a delivery. I did put some pictures for all those listening at home. You can't see our Dropbox, sorry. But put the pictures somewhere they can. But so I Wednesday, I took conference calls from the Mariner North. But it worked out already.
The mobile office.
The mobile office.
That's awesome.
went to they have a lounge area where they've got couches and stuff, and I went and sat up there with the laptop and just told them what was up, and they're like, yeah, no problem. Yeah. So I worked out of there on Wednesday and kind of took care of some other business in town on Thursday. And Friday fairly early, the propane guy showed up, and there was still, I was going to go out and try to shovel for him. Snow's about 3 to 4 feet thick about that time on Friday, and I went to go shovel, and I went ting as the shovel reverberated through my arms, and I stood up on the pile of snow and walked back there without breaking through. I thought, oh, I guess this isn't going to be a problem. So he delivered the propane, and within 30 minutes, my office was back up to 68 degrees again.
Nice.
I'm back in business.
It's always good.
But I had nowhere to hide because it was spring break. The kids are home.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, I spent a bit of time being a paramedic because they're still skiing up here, and somebody found out that trees don't move. Yeah.
Okay. I read that in a book somewhere.
Yeah.
The insurance company doesn't believe you when they tell you. When you tell them a tree jumped out in front of you, they just don't buy that.
Yeah.
And we needed some maintenance on the ambulance, including replacing one of the wiring harnesses in the dashboard. So I figured Thursday was a good day for that. So that's kind of been my week, and nothing so dramatic. I'm actually counting my blessings there. I saw your wonderful bride's post about 8 hours later. I didn't catch it right away, but she made mention on FaceTube about your experience, and I went, oh my gosh.
Well, it's like I don't want. Like I said to my daughter, I got it's something else when you have your 16-year-old daughter reams your ass out over the telephone, because I got a phone call. Let's see, Thursday, and from ring 9:30 10 at night, and I saw it was their mom's house number. I says hello, and it's my daughter. What is? She goes, what the heck has happened to you? I went, what are you talking about? She goes, no, it's about 9:30 at night. She goes, my son, he was looking at Facebook. My son, not her son, okay. My son was looking at Facebook, and he says, oh, my God. I guess he read what my wife had posted on FaceTube about what happened on Wednesday morning. And he read it, found out, ER, blah, 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 told his sister, so she read it. And then I get this phone call, and I got reamed a new one. Because she's like, why didn't you call us? We could have come. I'm like, you were already at ROTC at 6 o'clock in the morning doing drill. Your brother was already at school. I says, your mom, I says, and her husband were already out at work. And she said, Nick, you didn't tell us that you got hurt and blah, blah, blah. But I don't like being, making a fuss. I says, you know, what good is it going to do to, oh, look at me, I know, I got hurt, boo-hoo, friggin' who. I says, that ain't my way. I says, as it is now, Debbie damn near had to fight with me to stay in the ER after they didn't do anything. I was getting ready to get up and walk out. And I refused the splint the first time, and because I was pissed. And I said, I'm getting the hell up. I'm walking out of here. You can't do that. I said, take it. Keep the damn splint. I ain't interested. And Debbie made me get the damn splint. That's my wife's name for all those four listeners. And so she made me get the thing put on, which was smart because she's a smarter the two of us. And then from there, my daughter just, I mean, really just chewed my ass out. You got to call and let us know. I says, what the heck difference does it make? I says, you know, I don't, stuff happens. And I says, you know, I don't like airing my laundry out in public. She goes, we're family. She said, you said, you're such a stubborn ass. And I, that's one time she got away with it.
She got away with it. Yep. Oh, God.
And I said to her, I said, well, now you know where you get it from.
Definitely.
You know, I don't like making a big deal about much of nothing. Ain't nothing nobody can do to fix it. I appreciate the well-wishing and the thoughts and prayers and all. I said, but I'm not one who likes much attention. I draw enough attention by default just walking into the room.
Yeah.
And no, there was a lot of good folks out there who, friends of my wife's, and she put it on FaceTube and the whole nine yards, you know, asking day after day, how's he doing? And I appreciate that. I want to thank all those folks out there because, you know, it's just one of them things. It never occurs to me to tell all the people how I'm doing. You know, if something bad happens. Something bad happens, you fix it, keep it to yourself. That's, but.
Yeah. Well, that's how we both found out about it. I didn't find out about it until like about 9:30 at night. And I said, well, hell, I'm not going to call him now. Yeah, because exactly. He's probably all perked up and.
Oh, yes, sir. As a matter of fact. Could you guys pick up on the next topic while I hobble my butt into the other room to go get my prescription medication as well as put that air cast on? Because after walking down to the garage and wrenching on the car, I will be honest and say my friggin' leg hurts like a son of a bitch right now.
Yes, it's going to.
Yeah, well.
I was walking around in Radio Shack trying to buy a microphone. There's a great story. I listened all week long. I must have listened to the last 5 or 8 podcasts we've done.
Boy, you must have been bored.
And shut up. I'm starting to listen to them now. I still can't do it with my BlackBerry. I tried loading it in there, and it'll subscribe, but it won't download. So I got out my old Android phone. I'm using it like an iPod. Mm-hmm. And so I'm downloading them, and I'm listening to that. I'm listening to Political QRM, to Anne Marie and Lou's show.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped back to ours, and I thought, wow, where's that shitty sound coming from? Oh, that's me. The microphone sounds like I'm... if you can imagine a soup can with both ends cut out that's 2 miles long, and I'm at one end, and the microphone's at the other end. Hello down there. And I'm listening going, oh, God, that sounds like crap. So, today, I said to my beautiful bride, I said, I got to get a microphone. Now, I got the one that Barry lent me, but the wire was broke. That's at work. I'm like, I ain't driving 50 miles into work to go get a broken microphone, hopefully fix it. So I called Guitar Center. I called 2 other places to try and find a decent microphone, just one for this show, and then I'll get my other one tomorrow at work and fix it. And found one at Radio Shack. Drove there, walking around, talking to the guys, da-da-da-da-da. Buy it. It's analog jacks to plug into the back of the Mac Mini. The speakers part work great. Plug in the microphone, Mac doesn't recognize it. Cannot get it to work.
Hmm. You put it on external? In the settings?
I went to the actual settings for you know, under the Apple preferences.
Right.
System preferences, and then I went over to sound.
Yeah, line in.
Yeah, line in. And I clicked it onto audio line in port. which is the type.
Right.
And it would not pick up on the microphone, the new microphone that's on the headset. And I don't know why. I was wiggling it a little bit. And
it must be a different plug.
You know, I don't know, because the sound speaker one worked fine.
Well, it sounds about the same.
It's, no, well, it's line in.
Yeah, line in. And the line
in.
Yes.
But there's yeah, but see, line in is not microphone level.
No, that's
you
true.
You need a preamp on the mic before you can go a line in.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, so you're...
That's the problem.
Okay, so it, basically, it just doesn't hear it.
Yeah, you want a USB mic, definitely.
Well, that the same shitty one that I've been using for the last umpteen shows, you guys kindly didn't tell me sucked and sounded this bad. I plugged in and started playing around with all kinds of settings here on the Mac to try and figure out how can I... Basically, what it boils down to is I turned the boost, the line in volume.
Mm-hmm.
I have it cranked to the bejesus. And
okay. Important side note, Jash.
Yeah.
Under Skype.
Yeah.
In preferences.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter a crap what you said in the Apple preferences.
Yeah.
If you've got AGC on in Skype, which was my biggest problem. If you go to the auto settings in Skype, you want to turn automatically adjust microphone settings off and
right.
Set your volume there. Otherwise, it's going to keep cranking you down.
Gotcha. And I'm going to go check on that
go
right now.
Go check that
sir.
Right now.
You can do that live. But in the meantime, first, why don't you get some painkillers and an air cast? We'll wait for you.
Yeah.
All righty. Guys,
that's the medic in me talking.
I'm going to go mute and take care of the few little necessities here, and I'll be right back in a jiffy.
Okay. Sounds all good. Right.
Well, you don't have to mute it. When we hear the scream in the background, we know you got the cast back on.
Well, I got to put it on in here anyway, but yeah. Listen for the blood-curdling screaming, and you'll know, oh, he's got it in place now.
I want to hear him pump it up.
No, I leave the bladder pumped up to the same all the time.
Oh, okay.
I just tighten the Velcro straps on it. There's three Velcro straps that kind of cantilever the thing and together, and then I just leave the bladders pumped up.
Oh, and right. In that case, I want to hear something like...
Yeah, well, don't you? I laugh, and I'm hoping that's not what you hear. Because I haven't walked on it as much and worked it this much since I heard it. I got it nice and straight. It's low. Supposedly, I got to keep it elevated, but fat chance of me doing that here. But underneath the desk. So I'll be right back, fellas.
Okay.
Well, this is where you insert your Wilhelm scream here.
I don't have a scream, but I'm ready for when he gets back.
Okay.
But we might as well go on to the next topic and move on because happy anniversary cell phone. It was, believe it or not, the 40th anniversary of the cell phone on April 3rd. And the first use of a cell phone was April 3rd, 1973 in New York City. It was a Motorola Dynatac. And you've probably seen them. It's one of those big things that kind of looked like an old World War II mobile or radio phone. And it cost $4,000 back then. And the guy that was using it, he says, as I walked down the street while talking on the phone, sophisticated New Yorkers gasped at the sight of someone actually moving around while making a phone call. Remember that in 1973, there weren't cordless telephones or cellular phones yet. I made numerous calls, including one where I crossed the street while talking to a New York radio reporter. Probably one of the more dangerous things I have ever done in my life. So so the Dynatac, the Motorola Dynatac, was made available and first used on April 3rd, 1973. Now, that I remember when they started becoming available in the 80s. In the early 80s, the rich people had phones. But I don't remember it back in 1973. Geez, you know, I was barely in high school at that time. And I don't remember hearing about these at all. Now, there used to be mobile radio phones that people in cars would have. But that was totally different. That was strictly, you know, a mobile radio phone where you went on a frequency. It was no different than kind of using like a walkie-talkie almost.
Right. It was very close to just the regular two-way ham radios that we use today, except especially towards the later part of the 70s. I worked for Motorola at the time,
mm-hmm.
and they actually had a duplexer in them, so they were full duplex.
Okay. So were they on two different frequencies, split frequencies?
Yeah, yeah.
For transmit and receive. So.
Yep. So yeah, I worked with the Rural Tel division, and I also worked on some of the early cellular stuff back in 77, 78 with Motorola. But that was still before they really officially, you know, launched it.
Wow. So, but 40 years. Wow. Can't believe it. And now, yeah, I mean, you look at that, they have pictures. I have a link in the show notes for you for the article. And they actually have pictures of the old phone. And
yep.
I remember seeing those. But I remember them in the early 80s. So I guess not too much happened between 1973 and 1983, you know, when they actually, I guess they started coming down in price a little bit. And it's $4,000 for a phone. And I can't imagine there were too many cell towers at the time.
And the monthly service was outrageous, too.
Really?
Back then, yeah. People were spending hundreds of dollars a month. Jeez. Back then.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Wow. So, yes, 40 years ago, it all started. So, well, the Aero, which is a company that is putting out thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of little one-inch antennas all over New York City. Streaming that content, the over-the-air content, to you for a price. But they're not messing with anything. They're not modifying anything. It's just a matter of putting antennas up. You pay for a service to use an antenna and get the signal from that antenna digitally. Of course, immediately, all the cable companies, all the local television stations, the networks, all pounced on them and started suing them. Well, the good news is that they have won the first battle. And so now, suddenly, Dish is interested in dealing with them. So that to me is kind of interesting, and I'm surprised DirecTV hasn't started talking to them that we know of yet, because one of the things that happened with the satellite companies was the FCC came in and said, you shall make all local channels available over the satellite.
Right.
And so that made them, that's very expensive for them. That's probably the most expensive thing they do, because they have to have all these little spot beams and everything to cover the different areas, and you got to make sure that, you know, you like, if up here in New England we can't see Philadelphia, and they can't allow Philadelphia up here because, you know, all the radio stations own their districts, which is a pile of shit. If you got money and you can pay for it, you should be able to get what you want. But oh my God, you know, so and that's gotta be the most expensive thing they do with the satellites is having to deal with all the local channels on there. Well, Dish is immediately talking to Aero and saying, maybe we can make a deal with you. Maybe, you know, we can provide, you know, all the network stuff, and you can provide the local service over the internet, and we can have a package deal for that. And that would save them a ton of money and a lot of bandwidth up on the satellites. So that's a help, but the local stations are still upset because, see, the local stations, they sell their feed to the cable and to the satellite, so that they can, you know, they can give it to you in your home. So now this company comes along and says, "Well, look, we're not paying for a line in because we don't need it. We got a bunch of antennas up, and we can get it right off the air, and all we're doing is providing an antenna for people who can't put an antenna up because of you know, home covenances, or because they can't get the signal where they live. Like, for instance, you know, I'm 70 miles away, so the only way I can get the Boston channels is if I put a huge antenna up. Uh-oh, we lost. Oh, Michael's back.
Yeah.
The virtual Uper was there, but...
Yeah, operator error.
Okay. But, you know, even when it was analog, I had a Yagi antenna on top of my roof that it was about probably 6 feet in length and sat about 60 birds comfortably. And that's what I needed to get the Boston stations. Now, with this service, I could just have it streamed in. Of course, I get it over the DirecTV now. They provide it to me. But they don't provide a lot of bandwidth. That's the other thing. Their bandwidth on the local stations, that they tend to cheat and cut down on that a little bit. So even though it's high def, it's not the highest high def, where I think Arrow, you'll get a better high def picture coming from them. So now, if we could only convince them that if I want to pay to get the Philly stations, let me pay and get the frickin' Philly stations. But, yeah, I don't think we're going to win that battle anytime soon. But it's a plus, and I'm glad to see that they won their first battle. And I'm sure there will be more. And let's wish them all the luck for the future. Are you back?
Oh, God, yeah.
Did you take your medication?
Yeah.
So.
Perky, perky, perky.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, really, guys? If I all of a sudden start to seem a little silly... Yeah. I apologize in advance, but I normally take one, and then the bottle says take 1 to 2 as needed for pain.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just one would be enough until I put this damn cast on, and Michael, with the C for compression. Oh, my God almighty. 2 is in order.
Well, you could also become...
I'm Vicodin Man.
Yeah, well... I am Vicodin Man now. Oh my God, does that hurt now?
Yeah, that's what happens when you put some constraining object around a muscle that's been pretty much sliced in half.
Oh, it's what I had to do, guys. I couldn't sit around anymore. I was going stir crazy. I hate being in the house to begin with.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. I know that.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Oh, they have to see the air cast now that it's on and I'm sitting still. Actually feels good. It's like, oh wow. It's just a dull throb.
Yeah.
Go!
Yeah, exactly. Homer J, I hear you, brother.
I got the soundboard back.
Yeah, you did too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, thanks, Michael, because I turned off that automatic gain control, and you're right. What a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So
it only
we just...
took me, what, almost 3 years to figure that out. Well, of course, they keep changing the interface on Skype.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. I was trying to... I have been on since roughly 6:18, and trying the new microphone that didn't work, and I didn't realize I had to amp it before I put it into the Mac Mini. I wonder if it'll work on my regular Windows machine. Probably, it very well may. I don't know.
So if it's a mic, but yes. Normal Windows machines have got a line in and a mic in, remember?
That's right. This is a line in, not a mic in.
Right.
On the back of the Mac Mini. So, that being the case, yeah, it's the hell was my point? Wow, the perk. I completely have a brain fart. I totally forgot what I was saying and why I was saying it.
That's all right. We totally understand. And I got to load this soundboard up with more sounds. I'll tell you, I've got a bunch of stuff here, and I haven't loaded it completely up since I got it running on the new MacBook Pro. So, right. Because, oh, boy, I'm looking for a couple different ones here, and... I'll have to be more prepared. Yeah, what are you going to hurt next week so I can be more prepared?
I hope eat nothing. Hopefully, I'll still be healing with this thing, 6 to 8 weeks. So
that's true.
But I am pushing for 6 weeks. I mean, I was out and able to move around and do an awful lot. I got done today.
Yeah.
And without straining it too much. I mean, it's just sore now because I was using it, but I don't believe I've re-injured it, so to speak. It's just I was moving it around, and after 3 days or 4 days of keeping your foot up, not actually moving hardly at all, it's I can understand it. It was it objected to my sudden desire to use it.
Well, we should get on to our next couple of topics, which are I've got a sound effect for next week when we talk about Apple news.
Oh, wait a minute. Did I miss the Aero wins big part?
Yeah.
Oh, did they win?
Oh, God. You'll just have to listen and find out.
Okay.
Yes, they won. So far. They're still in court, but they won big time. And even now, the quick synopsis, Dish is talking to them because Dish says, maybe we can work a deal and you guys can provide the local stations and we'll provide the broadcast stations. Broadcast networks, so.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, the fact that it looks like they're winning, I actually want to sign up for it so I can get TV out of Boston.
Well, I think now they're going to have more money, and that means they'll be able to expand, and that's what they want to do. So Boston's probably going to be very soon.
All right.
So it'll be interesting to see.
I hope so. I want to jump over to the website right now and check it out.
Okay, you can do that. Meanwhile, we'll go to Apple's iMessage encryption. If you use Apple iMessage, rest assured that your messages are safe, even if they're trying to read them, because the feds are complaining that the encryption used on Apple's iMessage is way too complicated and they can't break it.
So let me get this straight. What are they using, 32-bit encryption or 64-bit encryption?
I don't know what they're using. I'm looking through the story here right now. I don't think it's telling us. Maybe they don't want us to know. but the DEA is complaining because, of course, they're listening in for drug cartels and drug dealers, and if they're using Apple iMessage, they can't get it.
So.
And maybe they can.
Oh, thinking like Adam Curry.
So tell them they can't get it, then
and
they
they'll use it more.
To convert to it.
Ooh. They'll use it more. Ooh.
The old flim flam.
I like your thinking. Ah. Jeez, okay, well, maybe it's not a big deal for Apple, then. Yeah. Yes, we can't get anything that's said on iMessage. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So, boy, if you all used iMessage, we won't be able to see a thing you're saying. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Say no more. Michael, you're right. Well, I'm surprised John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry haven't talked about that yet.
Interesting.
Maybe I'll send them a note.
There you go. You'll have to jump. Are you in the No Agenda group on Google Plus?
Yeah, I believe I am.
In the community, you could probably post it there.
I'm on it. I'm on the Facebook group. I'm on the LinkedIn group. I think I'm on the Google Plus group.
Yeah, I'm afraid to post anything because I'm a douchebag. I haven't given them any money, and I would right now, but yeah, not right now. So I'll have to become a knight all at once one of these days. Yeah, I doubt that. It seems like becoming a knight's costing more and more these days. So, but I will have to give them something because I really do enjoy that podcast.
Yeah, I'm on the $5 a month plan. I have been since almost the beginning.
I should do that, but
slacker.
Yeah, after I get some bills paid off.
I hear you.
I can go on the 50 cent a month plan. Because, did I tell you guys? Did I complain about this already? Did I bitch about my electric bill already?
Yeah, and then you changed over to the other plan.
Yeah, that hasn't come in yet. I guess it's starting. I'll get my next month's bill. I'll have that on. But did I do it on the podcast or was it afterwards? The fact that my frickin', I called them this week, that my electric bill, I'm on the monthly budget plan and it went up $100.
You were telling me about that. Yeah.
Well, it just so happened that the hike, the rate increase happened at the same time they do the 6 month check.
Yeah.
And adjustment. And no, it was, it turns out that this winter has been a very cold winter, much colder than last year.
Right.
And of course, my wife not liking to be that cold upstairs has been using the electric heat. And I kind of have been letting her because it's nice to have a warm bedroom. Mm-hmm. And to a tune that I now have to pay an extra $100 a month until August.
Really?
Yes. And that was kind of a shocker. I just can't believe how much it costs to heat this frickin' house. You know, between that and the oil heat and the gas, I probably pay about $600 a month just to heat this frickin' house.
Ouch.
Yeah. So, but needless to say, we're going to deal with heavier blankets and a lot less electric heat upstairs.
Either that, or if I may make a suggestion, an alternate way to look at it. I know Michael's done this already. You've got a beautiful, and you're paying for it, view of Mount Monadnock, which means, one, you've got some phenomenal wind and breeze coming up that valley and a ton of exposure to sunlight.
Well, we have east, and we do have a southern exposure. However, luckily, the wind, luckily in the fact that it doesn't make my house cold, the wind mostly comes from the west, and I'm slightly down from the top of the hill, which is toward the west.
Right.
So most of the wind is up at the top of the trees and really doesn't hit the house.
Exactly, but if you had yourself a tower with a wind turbine up there, think of how much free electricity you could be making.
I totally agree, but it does cost money to get into it first.
It's a lot cheaper now.
Yes, based on what Michael showed us on the one. I don't know whether. Did we talk about that on the show, or did we talk about that in the after show?
It was after show, I believe.
Yeah, where Michael was showing us some of the new turbines that are available. Small ones for houses and whatnot. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of thought about that. But
electric heat via solar and wind generation.
Yeah.
That might drive that electric bill right back down to where it's in that comfort zone again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
With a 6 month return on investment.
Yeah, that's the problem though. I gotta pay some bills off so I have some extra cash to invest in that.
Just spitballing ideas. You're talking to a guy who's got a truck in pieces right now that I just dumped a grand into to get out of the shop.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, yeah, it all sounds good. The other thing I'm really interested in and been listening to, and they actually showed on the last, I'm still a fanatic for watching This Old House. And not that I like to do any of the work, but it just fascinates me to watch other people doing the work. And especially because we just got done our little kitchen project, which was to remove this old a couple cabinets with a top, basically a butcher block top on it. It was kind of like a desk, but it was lower. And so we pull all that out, and we put up a beadboard in the back. And then the idea was we were going to get rid of one of the cabinets. We were going to raise the other cabinet up a little bit, so it was the top of the desk was at 30 inches, which is kind of normal. Right. And then we had an old knoll post, well, a new knoll post, actually, that we didn't use when we had our stairs redone, that we were going to use and put that in as a support on the other side instead of having the other cabinet there, which made it look big and bulky and everything. And you know, if you would have watched a project like that on This Old House, they would have probably covered it in Ask This Old House, which is that 15 or a half hour program that comes on right after This Old House.
Right.
And they would have probably, it would have probably been a 10 minute segment and it would have been done. And you say, oh, wow, that'll take me 10 minutes to do. Well, last weekend, we finished it. It was weekend number 5. And we finished it finally. And
looks good. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I put pictures up in the Dropbox. So there's a couple of pictures of our finished product there. Oh, and there's some turkey porn there too if you want to look.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, so and that really is turkey porn. That's a male turkey on top of a female. I've never seen it in action, but you know, lately they've been just running around with their blue heads going, "Hey ladies." You know, it's
hubba hubba.
It's Friday night and I've got a blue head. And they're running around doing their mummers thing. And yeah, this is it was, I don't know how to put this. Sounds so bad. But after the act was over, he went running over and all the guys came over and it was like, yeah, you can see him there, you know, they're slapping feathers, you know. Hey, good going. And all the women went over to the other one. What was it like?
I got a simple question, and yeah. I don't mean to deviate too far, but back to the desk.
Okay. So, what? You don't like to talk about turkey porn?
Well, let's just say it's way more advanced than I. I'm a simple man of simple means. But if this desk, which turned out gorgeous, mind you, looks nice, this is a 5-weekend project. A little thought jumped into my Percocet-induced mind right now, which is said, you and I got to build a shed, 10 by 12.
Yeah.
I ain't planning on taking a year to build it. I work fast, man. Well, I'll have it up in a day.
Well, no. Well, you don't understand. This was because nothing was planned for this. So we were figuring it out as we went. First, the first thing that happened was, as normal, my lovely bride started the destruction part of it. I ripped it all apart, and I came home from work one day, and it's like, what the hell happened here? And then we started putting the beadboard up. Actually, she put all the beadboard up. And you know, there was the measurement and how much we needed and how high it was going to go. Of course, none of that was planned out ahead of time, so there was lots of, shall I say, discussions about how it should go. And then how high should the desk go? And then we also found out that when we were pulling the one set of cabinets from that were up against the wall, well, we found out that these were homemade cabinets.
Oh, so they're sturdy.
We pulled it off, but there was no side against the wall. It was just against the wall. The wall was the other side.
Okay.
So, but since we were putting beadboard up, we had to take all that off, and we decided, well, we didn't want that to happen for the next round. So we actually took the old one that we weren't going to use, and they happened to be at the same size, hopefully, thankfully, and we took the side off of the one that we destroyed, and I put it together, made a new whole set of cabinet with the two drawers,
yeah,
in it from the existing parts and pieces, and then we also elevated it and added some more trim and whatnot. And the other thing, the last thing we had to do, which was fun, I didn't know how hard butcher block really was, but I wanted to drill a hole in the back, and because it's up against the wall, so there's no place for wires to go, and we moved the Mac Mini over onto that desk.
I see that.
And so I got one of those hole cutters for the drill, and started drilling a hole, and then I got a or what they call it.
But you got a hole saw bit or you got an auger bit?
I guess it's a hole saw bit.
Okay. All right.
So that's
the hard way of doing it.
Really? Auger's easier?
An auger bit will hog. Yeah. It's much more coarse cut. Uh-huh. However, it will. You can take an auger bit and rip through a piece of that butcher block and. Seconds.
Now, when you say an auger bit, this was the circular thing with the teeth on the around.
Right, it's
the
a
end.
Round circle with a yeah. little baby drill bit in the middle for centering.
Yeah, that's
it's
what
got
I have.
Teeth all the way around. Exactly, that's a hole saw.
Okay.
So a hole saw bit that yeah. literally you cut so far that it's a nice clean hole.
Yes.
To use that with exactly an yeah. auger bit looks like a paddle, so it looks like a
oh yes
shaft
yes yes yes
flat, and then it comes out to a very flat, very wide.
Right. Right. Okay.
Two chamfers and one in two opposite angles. Now that will rip through wood quick.
Yeah, I didn't know whether they made them in 2-inch.
Oh yeah,
a 2-inch one. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, I ended up with the circular one. And I probably should have used the auger bit because.
No.
Of course, you need one. A pretty serious drill for that, there, Josh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got a worm drive, variable speed worm drive saw drill. So.
Yeah, well, you know the one you gave me.
Yeah.
We were using that, and it. It took me a while, and we had to take turns, or not take turns, but we did it for a while, and then we'd stop and let everything cool down for a while.
That drill I gave you, I mean, it's not a worm drive mm-hmm. Variable speed drill, but that's not, yeah, it's no slouch. It'll
no.
definitely do the job.
But it took about a half hour to get that hole through, giving it breaks to cool down
right.
and stuff.
Did you tape the surface?
Tape the surface?
Yeah, before you drill a hole into any kind of wood to prevent it from splitting when you use a hole saw bit, you use masking tape and you tape. Same thing with cutting formica. You tape the surface and then drill through the tape.
Oh, no.
Oh,
But the top was okay. The bottom may have splitted a little right. bit, but the top looked fine. And we bought a grommet to pop
in
there.
Oh, yeah, it pops right in, so that cleans it up anyway.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, but it worked. It was just, and I guess we had about 2 inches of butcher block. Drink up, Shriners. it turned out well. I mean, I'm happy with it. It turned out
nice.
Fairly good. Oh yeah, that was the other thing too. Was putting the board across because I was telling her we had to put some support from the post to the back, the 2x4 that was into the wall that it sat on because it's butcher block. And, of course, that's all glued together. Now, chances are it's not going to fall apart, but you really want to support it width-wise because if you don't have any support there, you're going to cause stress on the cemented parts.
Yep.
And that could eventually cause it to split, so... We did that, and of course, then we had to do it nice, so I had to use dowels and cut dowel holes, and I should have, after, I went and bought the dowels, and right below it, I noticed that they had these dowel template things mm-hmm. That you could attach and everything, and I said, well, that's nice, but who needs that? Well, I should have gotten one. It's very hard to line up dowels. And holes by just measurement. It would have been a lot easier if I would have gotten that thing and, slap it on, zzz, zzz, slap it on the other piece, zzz, zzz, and be done with it.
Yeah. That's,
so,
I could see that.
Yeah. So, but it was an experience, and it's done. And my lovely bride, who her computer sits on it now, and she likes it there. So I'm happy for her. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm happy that it's finally done.
Now, Michael, a week from now, he'll come home, and where there used to be a wall going in from one room to the next will be a hole. And he'll say, I guess we're putting a door in here.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way I start projects. She starts them. I got to finish them. So that was a fun time had by y'all. So who's got Netflix?
I do.
I do.
Did you know that Netflix is bringing back Arrested Development?
I never saw it originally, actually.
It's actually kind of a funny show. I haven't watched all of it. You can actually go on Netflix and watch all the old ones. But it got canceled. I think it was on for 3 years, maybe. Three seasons, and got canceled. But it was one of those cult following ones that everybody loved. And so Netflix has brought it back. They funded it. So that's their next, what do you want to say, original programming.
Yep.
That they're bringing on, and it starts on May 26th, and they're going to put the entire season out there all at once, just like they did with House of Cards.
Really?
And with Lilyhammer. And I'm waiting for season two of Lilyhammer. I hope there's going to be a season two. That was a good show. It was quirky. So, but yeah, I'm really digging what Netflix is doing with bringing original programming, because they're the ones that are going to, they're leading the way on how we should be getting our programming in the future. It should not be based on, you know, one episode per week, you know, because you know that they've already got all the episodes done for a season. They're just spreading them out. And I like the fact that Netflix does it, and you can go watch the entire thing if you'd like.
Yeah.
Or you can break it up. Like, oh, wouldn't it be great if you could get Doctor Who like that? I noticed
that
was the other thing. Doctor Who started last week.
I don't even start. I don't have BBC.
And I didn't even realize it had started. All of a sudden, I was looking in my list on the DVR, and it's like, Doctor Who? Oh, no! So
that sucks.
You can get that online.
No, you can't. Okay. You can, if you literally use a proxy server.
Yeah.
And use that proxy server, which has to be located in the UK, you can then watch it on BBC. But if you have an IP address that just starts or generates anywhere from inside North America,
yeah,
and you jump to, the say, BBC to say watch it, or because they have watch online now, right now, on BBC, their website, bbc.co.uk, and they see that it's a US IP address, boom, you're not allowed to watch it. So you have to use a proxy server that's in the UK to go through to be able to watch it on your, you know, computer or TV here.
Hmm.
I've done it. It's a pain in the butt.
Or you have to have a subscription to get to, I can't think of the name of it.
Amazon?
No, not Amazon. Michael, you know what I'm talking about, the old days of computing. God, the name was there and flew out of my brain just as for when I was about to say it.
The old day of computing.
Yeah, the old, I'll think of it. Alternet? Not Alternet.
Alta Vista?
No, Altnet. You know what I'm talking about. When the groups, all the user groups.
Oh, use groups?
Yeah, use groups. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yes, if you have a subscription to that service, so you can get access to it, you find lots of programming up there available.
All right.
So
UUNet, God, it's
UUNet. That's it. Yep.
Yeah.
UUNet. Couldn't think it was there, and it disappeared.
Well, I mean, it used to come with your ISP,
yeah,
and then everybody just dropped it.
It's, yeah,
like, oh, there's nothing going, nothing good happens on UUNet.
Yeah, but you can subscribe to it. I think right now, I think I've got a subscription that you pay quarterly for it, but it allows you access, and they have a few programs and stuff that you can download, and it makes things available. People like to share things that they have on their television with other people that aren't in the same area as them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't say, huh?
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I'm sure that one's probably one of the most sought-after ones.
I don't know. You know, I'm more than willing to pay. It's, yeah, just, I just want to be able to watch them in pretty much, you know, real time. They have, mm-hmm, older ones on...
Right.
on Netflix.
Yeah.
But you know, there are many, several seasons behind on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know who gets the latest and greatest.
I was hoping Hulu Plus would, you know, like to get it next day. Yeah. But no luck with anything from that I've seen as far as Doctor Who's yet.
Hmm. Oh, well. Hey, guess what Google's doing?
What?
With the new Chrome.
Making it not such a memory pig?
Well, hopefully. But they've decided to come up with their own browser engine called Blink, which means that they're basically splitting WebKit, which is what it's based on right now. They're forking it, as they like to say, and creating Blink, which means everybody else is that also uses WebKit, like Safari and everything, will probably remain on the normal WebKit side. That generally splits developers and everything else, so it's generally not a good thing when that happens. But they've decided to go with Blink for their upcoming Chrome browser releases, and don't know whether that's a good or bad thing. Hope it doesn't remain a memory hog.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I gotta say though, I downloaded the latest greatest Firefox, and that seems to be really humming along.
Yep.
Yeah.
I use it when I'm not using Safari. That's the only other one I use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, same here.
I was impressed with Firefox, and you have to check them out every now and then. You have to just go out and say, I haven't opened this one up in a while. Let's see if there's anything different. And you're surprised because they all of them have their ups and downs. My predominant one still is okay. Safari. There we go. Safari, and then I usually go to Firefox. At work, I use Google because, it's one of the few ones you can install without getting in trouble.
Right.
So, so that's done. And Facebook this week unveiled their new home. I don't know whether you call it an app. It's a homepage, actually. And it's only available on Android phones. It kind of turns your phone into a Facebook phone.
Oh, wow. Yippee.
So, but it's basically your launcher is Facebook. And they have kind of strange things, you know. First of all, I would never get it because I don't want to be connected to Facebook 24/7. I just want to be connected to Facebook when I want to go look at it.
Right.
Which is more than I should be connected to it anyway. But this one, they have things like they have floating heads that show up when somebody wants to get in touch with you, and all of a sudden their head will show up or whatever picture, I guess, but they were showing heads. And then you can tap on the head and then have a conversation with them.
Really, though? Yeah. Does that sound like it could be a major inconvenience?
I don't think I care for this at all, so we'll see. We'll see how popular it is. To me, even if I had an Android phone. Oh, and they asked, when will it be available on iOS? And they said, well,
not the way it's being presented. It won't be
right. And Apple will not let something like that get on the phone. Apple will say, you got the Facebook app. That's good enough.
Yeah, on the Android, it becomes what we would call a skin. It becomes the launcher. It becomes the unlock page.
Right.
So it's sitting atop the operating system. It knows every app that you're tapping.
Mm-hmm.
It knows everything you're doing on the phone. Did you give up any more privacy to Facebook if you try it?
Exactly.
Not that I have an opinion or anything, but geez.
No.
Yeah.
Haven't put much thought into it, have you?
No, yeah.
So I would definitely, even if I had an Android
phone. My Nexus 7, I told my kids, you will not install this.
No. If you want to go access Facebook, use the frickin' app. Good enough. But, and that, I didn't put anything here because I didn't find any articles But I was listening, and they were talking about the upcoming rumors of the upcoming iOS 7 coming out. And it looks like they may be including widgets in iOS 7. So I actually saw a video, and I don't know who made this video, but they were... It looked like it came from Apple, but I doubt it because they usually hold off. We'll probably hear that during whatchamacallit?
WDC.
Yeah, in June. But they
haven't announced yet.
Right. So, but this thing showed, you know, how widgets would work and like you know on the login screen or whatever, the lock screen, you can pull up widgets and click on them from the lock screen to get into certain widgets that you set up ahead of time and whatnot. So it looks like if that's truly what's going to happen, that would probably be a plus.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see. It's still too early though, because Apple's being mum on it, as they always are.
Right, top secret.
Yeah, but it kind of looks like that might be an interesting thing. California courts, this is kind of interesting, have handed down a verdict that says, hands on the wheel, not on your map apps. So, if you're in California and you're caught playing around on your smartphone, or dare I say, probably any of your GPS things, and you're caught playing with it while you're driving, they say that's just as bad as texting while driving.
Oh, okay.
I would probably disagree with them on that. I think it's more in line with, if you're just tapping buttons, it's more in line with changing a radio station.
I'd have to say I agree.
And then actually trying to read something and touch it. And I get concerned, are you going to be able to actually look at the map in the future?
No.
You know, because, you know, if I'm driving and I'm trying to figure out where I'm going, even if I had a paper map, I'd have the thing up and I'd be looking at it.
You'd be looking at it.
Yeah.
Every time you come to a street light or a stop sign, you'd be glancing down and go, what street am I looking for?
And, of course, I'm always concerned about this stuff being an amateur radio, licensed amateur radio operator, that soon they won't let us touch our amateur radios, our 2-meter or 440 rigs in the car. Hell, some people sit there and drive and have a Morse code key on their strapped to their knee, and they sit there and send code as they're driving down the highway. I don't think I'd too thrilled about that. But
I was gonna say that's maybe. I mean, you talk about multitasking. I find eating a quarter pounder with cheese and I getting ketchup down the front of my shirt and driving a challenge.
Well, I never had a code key strapped to my knee.
Oh, okay.
I had a J37 straight key right in the armrest on my Mitsubishi pickup truck. And I did carry on CW conversations going down the road back and forth to work.
Really? And yeah, would you say it's a dangerous thing to do or not? Because actually Morse code, it's mostly in your head anyway.
I find it a whole lot less distracting than a cell phone call.
Hmm. That's interesting. I'm just worried that they see you holding the microphone up to your face. I mean, to me, having a conversation on a repeater and just holding the microphone up and talking is not really... I can pay attention to driving and have a conversation like that with no problems whatsoever. That's probably even less distracting than a cell phone call. Of course, when I talk on the phone, cell phone, I've got it pumping through my speakers. I use the speakerphone option. So I don't even find having a cell phone call that distracting while I'm driving, because it's not like I have to pay attention to it. I'm just listening to somebody. It's no different than having somebody sit next to you in the car and talk. So I don't know. Kind of interesting. So gotta watch. Of course, only in California.
Yeah, well, it's good to see that they're so incredibly concerned about what people are doing in their cars. Never mind the fact the state's completely friggin' bankrupt. It's another way to generate revenue. Oh, we'll bust people for touching their GPS trying to find their way and work, you know, to work or something along those lines. And who knows, man? You know, good luck to them. Yeah, that's about all I got to say on the subject. It's I think we're reaching a point where it's going to get a little ridiculous after a while. You're right. You won't be able to talk on your radio, your rig. Sooner or later, someone's going to come up with some genius idea that, well, maybe you shouldn't actually be adjusting your radio stations either. Or maybe you shouldn't even be listening to the radio because it distracts your mind from what's going on outside the windshield. The fact that you're listening that there's a traffic jam ahead, so then you'll make evasive maneuvers too quickly, which could cause accidents, and maybe you shouldn't listen to the radio either. you see where it's going.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. You know, I also find amusing, I'm looking at the webpage that, you know, I had saved off for the story. It's a CNET article, actually. And by the way, there's links in the show notes for all these. And I'm laughing here as we're looking at this because this afternoon I was doing some extensive research online about scanners because my flatbed scanner, which I currently have, doesn't work with any of my computers anymore because it's too old.
Okay.
There's no software for it. Matter of fact, I plugged it into the laptop and it doesn't even power it because it only gets its power from the USB drive, but apparently it was more power than they're currently giving out now, I guess, on the USB drives. Or I don't know. I don't know why, but it didn't do anything when I plugged it in, which made me go and start researching because it's like, okay, yeah, this flatbed's probably about 10, maybe 10 years old, maybe older. So maybe it's time to get a new one.
All right.
So I was researching it, but needless to say, I'm looking on the CNET page, and pretty much every ad on here is about flatbed scanners. Which I find totally amazing how they do that. Of course, I'm interested in it, so I am paying more attention to all the advertising on the CNET page.
Right.
But yeah, it's just amazing. You go research anything for a little bit, and every webpage you look at after that will have that as their advertising. So, Google at its best. Michael, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Didn't know whether you were falling asleep or not. Let me find the show notes again. You know, because Michael always busy. And matter of fact, we'll talk about this now. Michael is a fireman. Well, he's a probie. A probie, yeah. Fireman, huh?
I'm the new kid on the block in the fire department. But yes, Wednesday, as I said, somebody found out that a tree doesn't move and ran off to take care of that. And the hospital is really impressed. It's 15 miles from here to the ski hill. And of course, I'm on standby here. I carry on my life. I'm not sitting by the ambulance 24/7. Not when I'm, you know, not officially on duty.
Yeah.
But from getting from here to the ambulance, meeting up with my partner, going from there to the ski hill, getting the patient from the ski patrol, transferring to the rig, and then over to the ER, which is 35 miles from here. From the time the 911 call was placed to the time we had the patient rolling into the ER was 45 minutes.
Wow.
That used to be almost a 2.5 hour to 3 hour turnaround.
Wow.
Before we hit the ambulance here in the harbor.
That's incredible. Yeah, because they'd have to drive out there and then get the person and drive back. That's incredible.
So we've made a huge difference. Got back from that call just in time for my partner to run to the fire meeting that night. And that's when they vote on the new application, which was me. So starting twice a month now, I'll be training and then going to official firefighter school this coming fall.
Wow.
So something to do in my spare time.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's
absolutely,
not...
Yeah. Spare time. 11 and a half seconds per week.
Yeah, that does make all of the active EMS personnel in town, though, part of the fire department, which is it's a good combination.
Right.
Yeah, so soon we'll be, you know... That'll be Michael. Oh. Michael won't be making the show tonight because All right.
Nah, I don't transmit EKGs anymore. I just read them on the rig and tell the doctor what I see. But that could happen with me anytime, though, Barry. You know that.
Oh, I know. I know.
It happened a couple weeks ago. It happened last night. I was telling you pre-show, or actually, I guess we'd started the show. It snowed all day yesterday. What a change. And it was wet, heavy snow. And I had just... I had to go to town yesterday with the family, so we kind of sloshed through it and came back. And then it really was coming down, I mean, not horrible, but it was coming down about an inch an hour. But again, really wet, heavy snow, blowing really good. Just get set up in the house, starting to cook some food for my kids. My wife wasn't all that hungry. And, geez. And it's a page for the other side of the county.
Oh.
So it's snowing to beat the buggers, and it's a code 3 run. That's lights and sirens, or as we say, make noise, drive fast. which you can only do so much of when it's snowing like this. And it's not just snowing. I mean, we're used to snow up here, but it's wet, heavy snow. And get to the ambulance. We're going as fast as we possibly can. But I had to stop twice and clear the snow off the windshield and off the wipers because it was so heavy I couldn't see through what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Got on scene, took care of everything. Patients down the road to a specialty hospital at this point. But we're coming back. And as I said, this is like 35 miles from here where I had to go. It was not a short run at all.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only two ways to get back here from that location. One's the 35-mile as straight as it can go route. Because we intercepted with an advanced life support rig and transferred the patient to the other rig, and they went right to the hospital.
Okay.
And I could have headed towards town and then turned around and come back without having, too many hills.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been another hour and a half before I got back here if I went that route.
Mm-hmm.
So we took the direct route. And just on the other side of the peninsula from here, there's the ski hill and a little town called Lac La Belle. And it's at the bottom of a hill. Ski hill and bottom of hill. It's a steep hill.
Okay. Oh,
so you're sliding your way down it.
I was sliding my way down on the way to the call. Coming back up, there's this Y intersection that comes up to the base of the hill, and my tires are spinning just getting to the stop sign to the base of the hill. So I didn't stop.
Yeah.
I used my momentum to go around the corner so that I could go down the other Y, which is a little more level, and get a running start.
Right.
So go down to the community mailboxes down there, turn around, and I build up as much of a head of steam as I can get going because I know what I've got in front of me.
Right.
And I come around the corner, and it's continued to snow to beat the band, and there's 6 to 7, 8 inches of wet, heavy snow that's undisturbed on this really steep hill.
Right.
And I get, up to the first turn, which is 150, 200 yards up the hill, and I stop all forward motion.
Oh, no.
And then I start sliding backwards.
Oh, no, God.
That's enough to make you sick, dude.
Yeah.
Now, it's a diesel ambulance. All the weight's up front. It keeps trying to turn on me, and there's steep ditches on either side of the road. And I'm sliding backwards with the brakes on.
Oh, God.
I managed to get it back down to the bottom of the hill without putting it in the ditch, without rolling it.
Oh, man.
It was a long, hairy drive down. I actually slide. I wasn't driving.
Yeah.
It was a controlled crash. And got it back down to the bottom of the hill and carefully backed it back up to the place where I'd started out. Called the state police. I said, could you get a hold of the highway commission, please, and tell them to get a sander down here? Well, there wasn't anyone. They were hour and a half away, best bet.
Oh, jeez.
So the local first responder / local fire chief, actually, he is the only first responder. He's the fire chief, and he's the assistant sheriff, deputy sheriff in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, doesn't wear many hats then.
Yeah, he's the Indian Bavaria of Lac La Belle. Good guy. Awesome guy.
Mm-hmm.
He hears all this. State police can't get a hold of highway patrol or the highway commission that runs the plows. He calls them on their personal phones. They gave him the story, and he goes, well, this isn't going to do. He gets in his own personal pickup truck with a plow on it and plows one lane wide up to the entrance to the ski hill. Now, it's a long ways past that, but it's the worst hill.
Right.
Right.
And he comes down, and he goes, Mike, I think you can make it if you get a head of steam going now. I plowed it down to the pavement, at least up, you know, the first quarter mile or so.
Right.
So that's what we did. We got a run and start.
Oh, it took me
almost an hour from the time we hit that intersection to the time we made it up the hill.
Jeez, really?
Wow. So all this time, you know, I'm responding to this call. I was supposed to be designated driver for a group that was going down to go dancing last night. Celebrating, they wanted somebody sober to drive them, and I was more than happy to do that.
Right.
Unfortunately, I missed the meetup time by about 2 hours.
Right. Yeah. Understandably so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they understood.
Wow. Jeez. You know, what's amazing is people still go out. I mean, you said you got 7 or 8 inches of new wet snow on there, and people still go out.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
Around here, people would just hunker down in their homes and stay.
Well, the only part that was the problem was that one hill. And it's a known problem around here, but I've never had to take it under those conditions in this particular ambulance, and I won't do it again.
Wow. So you finally got a mailbox? What's that?
The app.
Oh, you got the app?
Yeah, it took me 2 weeks waiting for it.
Oh, finally got mailbox. Okay, yeah.
So. I finally got mailbox, so I know I've synced both of my active Google mail accounts with it, so I've got like 300 to go through right now.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you like it so far?
So far, I love it.
I use it all the time. What's that?
Perfect for it. It makes all kinds of sense.
Yeah.
It's something you can actually, you know, use on your phone with, you know, and just use one hand and sort everything.
Right. And it, to me, it's great because I get lots of emails during the day. And, you know, I go through them, and a lot of times it's like, yeah, don't care. Yeah, I want to read that. Give it to me tonight. You know, yep. Send it to me tonight. But it just keeps all the crap out of your mailbox, you know, until when you want to read it. And I use it all the time. I'm a convert. You know, that's what I use all the time now. And it kind of forces you to do something, because after about the fifth time that something pops up that you've said, give it to me tomorrow night. You do that 4 or 5 times. You go, damn, I got to do something with this. I'm getting tired of doing this, you know. So it kind of forces you to do something. Whereas in the past, you know, when you just leave it in the mailbox, you forget about it. And then like 2 months later, you're flipping, going through stuff. And you say, oh, man, I forgot about that. You know,
yeah.
So it's
it came up and suggested, you've got a lot of stuff in your inbox. You just want me to archive it all for now? I'm like, no.
Actually, the first time I did go through and look at the stuff, and I said, yeah, archive everything because I'm not going to get through all of it. It must not be important now. If I haven't looked at it in like half a year, I don't think it's that important. And literally, I had stuff sitting there for half a year. I think you'll love it. I use it all the time now. It's great.
I saw that whenever you replied back in the Gmail, it said it came from your mailbox for iPhone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it says it at the bottom of my when I was reading on it on my Brainiac Crackberry.
Hmm.
I was reading on it. It says, it came, this message sent via mailbox for iPhone.
Jeez.
On the footer.
Yeah. Yep. It's a neat thing.
Can you guys hear me okay? Is my mic cracked out yet?
No.
No,
you're good.
I hear you fine.
I'm sorry. I'm editing the notes while I'm talking at the same time. Uh-huh. That's probably a bad thing. It's like, you know.
I'm reading Diesel Power Magazine while you're talking, so that's
and tripping on a Percocet.
So now you know what all of us do during the podcast. I get lost writing up the show notes and reordering them. Josh is just reading something totally different.
Well, you guys are talking about mailbox. I can't jump in and think, well, with my iPhone, I got the booty app. But apparently, I'm pretty much, if I'm going to get an iPhone, I have to go buy one myself.
Yeah, probably.
And I've actually started, you know, after I get a few bills paid off, I was actually toying with the idea of going to get one of my own ilk and then having all my calls from work forwarded so I can just carry my iPhone.
Hmm. Yeah.
Even if it's an older iPhone, I really don't give a crap. You know, if it's the old, you know, if it's the 4G or 3GS or what, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just to get me into the, get my feet wet, so to speak.
Well, rumors are they're going to come up with a cheaper iPhone, supposedly. Of course, Apple's not saying anything, but they want to come up with a cheaper iPhone, maybe a plastic model. And,
yeah, well, I don't want a piece of shit. I mean, I already got one of those. Sorry, did I say that out loud? That's meds, you know.
Well, Josh, the next story I think you should really pay attention to. There's an invasive species that was spotted in New Hampshire, and I think you might be really interested in this. I would be watching if I were you, because it's the larvae of the emerald ash borer beetle.
Well, that's a mouthful now, isn't it?
So, but it particularly goes after ashes.
Oh, okay.
So I think you would probably want to be extra special about that. To be extra careful.
You know what? I'll keep an eye out. I may have to go get me a dog. Let me know when the little beetles is coming up near the house. Start barking and all.
Actually, it's a bad thing, but they've had these. Where was it? It was down south. They had this problem in Virginia.
Yep.
And most of the ash trees got wiped out. Totally.
That's a shame. It's beautiful wood too.
And to protect it, if they were in the area. Now, I don't understand this. I guess I kind of do. But if they were caught in an area, they would then go out and chop down all the ash trees. So to prevent the spread of it. And it's like, okay, well, if the beetle's not doing it, you're doing it.
Yeah, it's so counterproductive there.
Yeah, I don't understand that whatsoever. But, yeah, that was on Channel 9. That's on the Channel 9 webpage, so there's a link to the show notes there. Channel 9. Channel 9 News, New Hampshire's leading news station, because it's the only news station. gotta love it. So, Michael, what's this with memory problems?
Well, you know, I haven't seen anything official on this yet, but I've had an issue with my iPhone. Mm-hmm. I know Josh is going to say it's not so.
I don't believe it already.
Well,
and he's already just to let you know, as you're starting this story, he's already looking at diesel engines. <Yeah.
again>. No, actually, I think it's an iOS 6 thing, but I've noticed, and maybe it's just my phone, but based on something you mentioned a couple of months ago, maybe not. Apps that I use that use a lot of memory, like Facebook, like Netflix, some other apps I've got, even Temple Run 2, there tends to be one heavy-duty app that does not work on my phone any particular day for a while. I mean, it'll run, and then it just aborts. And runs and crashes and runs and crashes. And then a day or two later, it starts running fine. And another big memory app stops working, like Netflix. Now, I don't know if you remember, well, I'm sure you do, when you were talking about Facebook just crashing on you all the time on your iPhone.
Yeah.
Well, that was happening to me, but it wasn't just Facebook. It was only one app at a time, but it would rotate. It'd be one app that would keep crashing, and then it would start working again without me changing anything, without doing any updates, and then another app would start crashing. So either I have a actual hardware issue with my phone, which is possible, but this all showed up with iOS 6. And it's a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing with Apple ever goes bad.
No,
you can't say that.
It's just, guys, I'm joking, of course. I mean, I made my living fixing fixing robots and machines that break. This will last forever. No, it won't. Trust me. But but no, realistically, I find that, yeah, it makes sense. Maybe a software or an update issue. Or is anybody, are there any other blogs with people running into the same problem since they've upgraded to iOS 6? Or
I see occasional complaints, but nothing I can, you know, coordinate yet. So I'm just kind of, I'm sure it's going to either become public or just magically fix itself if it is a problem and nobody will hear about it again. But, you know, there are issues out there. iCloud, for one. Go back further. Mobile Me was an issue. I mean, they don't get everything right the first time.
Right.
That's
but
true.
It's a hell of a lot better than the alternative.
Yeah. Although I'm trying to find my acceptance email, and I probably mailboxed it to come up anyway. There is a program that I'm interested in. A lot of people on the Android are playing, and actually Josh, you ought to tell your wife about this because she might be interested.
All right.
I'm trying to remember the name of it. Ingress. Is that it? I remember it was the same name as an old database name. And I said, that's interesting. You're using the same name as a old database. I think it's okay. Ingress. But it's only on... I'm trying to bring up a page on it. Let me see if I can find it here. It's only on the... it's a Google game. And,
okay.
There it is. Ingress.com, I think that's it. Yes. And it's kind of like that game that we were playing with before, where you go out and you have to go to different locations and find things and stuff like that.
Geocaching?
Well, not geocaching.
Code Runner.
Code Runner, yes. Like Code Runner. But this one, you pick teams. You're on different teams, and it uses Google Maps, and supposedly they make you go to different places to get clues and things like that, and you get points for the team, and, you know, you're either part of the resistance or, well, they don't tell you much on here, and unfortunately, I don't have an Android phone to find out more about it, although... you have to request an invitation, right? So they said, I looked up and they said it's probably going to be made available to on iOS soon. But I think it's still an alpha. But everybody's that has an Android phone seems to be, anybody that's, you know, big into this stuff is playing this game. And so I said, I'll go ahead and I'll get myself an invite because who knows, by the time I get it, it may be out on iOS. I got it the other day. So.
Oh, okay. Alrighty then.
But Deb's got an Android phone, right?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, well, tell her to go get it, ask for an invite for Ingress. And it sounds like something she'd probably be interested in. And we want to hear about it. And Michael, I don't know. It's a GPS game. Could you do it on the Nexus 7?
Well, the Nexus 7 has got GPS built into it.
Okay, because it doesn't say what you can do it with here. It's in, let's see, have you have an invite already? Then you go to the Play Store and pick it up. So, anyway, it sounds kind of interesting. Oh, there's a movie here to play. Oh. Maybe we can play it. Watch, we'll get in trouble if I play this. But, it's.
What was the net effect of the Niantic project? We had crossed a threshold in which global security could be at risk. Decrypting the data was the mistake.
This is not psychosis or some cognitive break, but an actual takeover of the mind.
Much of the public sculpture found in our cities is based on design seeded in the human mind.
Certain places have an energy that not only attracts people, but attracts events. The mission of 13 Magnus is to monitor the effects of mind hacking. Obviously, this will be done with the highest of security, to make sure that the ideas do not contaminate or threaten humanity.
This all leads to Niantic.
I know that many tools will be needed to fight this battle.
You just have to know where to look and know what you're seeing.
Portals emit exotic matter into our world, and that matter has certain effects on our world.
I started noticing that there were energy fields, anomalies on Earth all around me.
A few of them exhibit properties that are as yet unexplained.
I know that there are others out there.
What if they're already among us, but we don't realize it?
And I must be prepared to work with them or fight them. They are coming.
Something's wrong out there in the world. This doesn't feel like a scientific study.
The one hope lies in understanding what happened at Niantic.
Not all mysteries are solvable, but the joy comes in the pursuit.
Okay, so that's the video. Well, the audio to the video that comes with it. It sounds pretty cool. It almost sounds like Code Runner a little bit.
Yeah, it does sound a lot like Code Runner in the beginning.
Yeah. But, yeah, it just looks really interesting, and I can't wait for it to get on iOS. Of course, out here in the boondocks, there'll probably be nothing. Of course, everything they show is in the inner city, you know, in cities and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, we'll have one thing to go run and find on Ingress and Jaffrey. Oh, look. Go look at the sacred cow that's emitting a portal. Something strange like that. So,
I've actually been thinking about Code Runner this week because, you know, the snow with the bright sun now is melting the top surface enough that it refreezes and you can walk on top of the snow. And with the lake being frozen by the house right now, when Code Runner tells me to head due south, I won't go gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. It still does that. I mean, I play Code Runner, but it has a tendency to keep trying to, you need to go 100 yards south from here. I'm like, that's in about 45 feet of water.
Yeah, I haven't played that in a while. I haven't been outside for a while. I'm sure they don't want me to play that while we're driving. So,
No.
This looks interesting.
That would be against the California code there.
Yeah. Yeah, no playing Code Runner or Ingress while you're driving.
So, yeah.
So tell Debbie to check that out.
I certainly shall, sir.
Yes.
I certainly shall.
Looks pretty neat. Well, I think that's it, right? We're done down to the bottom of the show notes, and we're going on, we're crossing over 2 hours.
Holy smokes.
Long show. We do have a musical guest. Let me blow up the page so I don't get the name wrong like I have the past couple of times. It's Acetron or Acetron.
Acetron. You know what?
I just screwed it up. And
I was going to say, after you just told yourself you weren't going to. God bless you.
I've got it in 3-inch letters right here in front of me. Acetron and the song Broken Umbrella. But before we go, we'd like to say a hearty hello and thank you to all our members in the armed services out there. And thank you for what you're doing. And both CONUS and OCONUS, and you guys, OCONUS, we hope we get you home back here to your family and friends real soon. So with that, from the almost spring-like southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the 65-degree temperature outdoors southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
Well, the propane heat works, and I hope I see spring before it's summer. I'm Michael the Virtual Uber.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Here's Acetron. Got it right. Samson, speak. Good boy.